In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael.
Pray for us.
Saint Gabriel.
Pray for us.
Saint Raphael.
Pray for us.
Our God and angels.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Welcome you all to our Ignatian Forum, and today we've got a wonderful forum. We've got Mary, Annette, we have Father Larry to be with us, and we're going to be talking about a very, very fascinating topic. And the topic is we're going to be talking about angels. We're going to be talking about angels. As I said in my homily this morning, I think I'd just like to repeat it. It's very short, but I think it's to the point. I must have been about 8 years old, and I was living in New York. I was driving my bike down this busy road, and along the road I was driving on the sidewalk, and I was driving really fast. And I was a pretty good cyclist, I'd have to say. I wasn't professional, but pretty good, pretty well coordinated. And I was going down faster and faster, because it was a steep hill. There was an intersection where cars are going in four different directions, and they're moving at a pretty fast pace. So about 100 feet before I arrived at the intersection, I started putting my brakes on, but my brakes didn't work. So I kept pumping those brakes, and they didn't work, and I was going fast, and I was just about to rush into traffic where I probably could have been killed. All of a sudden, my bike just stopped on a dime. Now, I look back, probably about 55 years later, and I can't prove this dogmatically, but I really believe that that was the intervention of the angels and my guardian angel that saved me from that fatal accident. Now, I wonder if a live stream family, it's ever happened that maybe you've been on the freeway, you've been driving, and you're just about to get into an accident which could have been a fatal accident, and there was some type of intervention that prevented you from getting in that accident. Not that we can really prove this dogmatically, but I think many of us have been prevented from accidents because of the intervention of our angel. Now, let's take it one more step. Maybe it's happened in your life that you were maybe moved by the other angel, called the bad angel, the devil. You had a thought in your mind to do something that was against one of the Ten Commandments. Something that you knew was not pleasing to God, and you were thinking about it, and you're about to carry that out, and all of a sudden you had a change of mind very spontaneously. You never carried that out. Could that have been the work of the angels? I really believe once we get to heaven, through the help of Mary and the angels and the saints, I think we're going to be very humble to see how much work the angels, the saints, and the Blessed Mother did to prevent us from falling off the cliff, falling off the precipice. So that's an introduction to our topic today. We're going to be talking about the angels today, and especially we're going to be talking about three angels. Very rarely do you celebrate on one day, you celebrate three saints on one day. Sometimes two, Cosmas and Damian, the two of the apostles. Sometimes we got a group of martyrs too, but today we celebrate three saints. The names of these saints that we can actually encounter in the Bible, they are Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Gabriel the Archangel, and then we have Saint Raphael the Archangel. That's our topic today. We'll talk on angels in general, but we'll talk specifically about these three. They're called archangels. And it was Thomas Aquinas that divided them into certain called choirs, not choirs that sing in the masses, but rather division according to their degree of perfection from the most imperfect to the most perfect, the angels all the way up to the seraphim. So that's where we're at. And so I think we've set the groundwork for our conversation, angels and archangels. I just have to tell Father Larry, I'm sorry that the angels did not make it to the playoffs, but that's a different interpretation of angels, right, Mary? So that's a baseball team. Okay? They didn't make it. They're fallen angels this year, right, Annette? But maybe next year they'll be able to bounce back. Huh? Well, after this somewhat long introduction, Father Larry would like to talk about the angels, right? And that's so.
Beautiful introduction, Father Ahead. Very concrete application of our guardian angels. Very well done. They will celebrate their feast day on this coming Friday, October the 2nd.
The garden angels, yes.
It's also the birthday of Father Craig McMahon.
Father Craig's birthday, so you can maybe pray for him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a year older.
So look at the reading on that day will be chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, do not cause any of these little ones to sin, because their angels see the face of God in heaven. What are the two words in there that are so key? Face of God. The angels see the face of God. What does that mean? Moses in chapter 33, the book of Exodus, wanted to see the face of God, and God said, no, you're not seeing my face. Because if you saw my face, you would die. God lives in an inapproachable eye. Our Lord himself said, no one has ever seen God except the Son of God, who has revealed himself and revealed God to us. We have the angels, we see the face of God. We go right now, see the face of God. We make it to heaven. John Paul II had a tremendous commentary on this. He said, the face of God we can see in Christ. Christ himself is the human face of God. Can you imagine? The angels see the face of God. We see the human face of God in Jesus Christ.
Very beautiful. So, we've talked about the guardian angel. That'll be October 2nd. We all have a guardian angel. And remember, my father will have passed away 4 years on October 1st, actually, which is the feast of your feast, St. Therese, Mary Therese. But remember once talking with my father, we were talking about the angels and the saints. And so we were looking through a book on paintings, and he pointed, that was my favorite picture when I was a kid. And what it was is you see these two little girls, they're walking across a bridge, and underneath the bridge you can see the water is rushing. It's almost as if there was just a storm and the water is rushing. And you could see, if you really look at the picture, well, there's the bridge. It's a wooden bridge. And it's got maybe about 10 different planks. But one of the planks is missing. And it's a little child, which means that if that little child does not step over that missing plank right into the water, the child can't swim, the child will drown. But hovering over the child, you could see the angel with its wings. My dad said that that was his favorite religious painting when he was growing up. Have you ever seen that?
Uh-huh.
It's a classical one. My dad said that was his favorite one. Even I think when he was old, he said he really liked it because it speaks so eloquently. You know, a picture's worth a thousand words. Would you like to comment on that?
It's magnificent.
Remember that?
Magnificent picture, indeed. I saw when I was growing up, I loved it very, very much.
Does that say something to you?
It says my guardian angel is protecting me. I have to listen to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is to listen. I talk too much.
Well, they have both of their mouths covered with a mask, so that will prevent you from talking too much, right? But we do have to talk, right? Well, Mary and Annette, we're going to have to allow you to speak now. Of the three angels, the archangels, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael, is there one that maybe seems to, you seem to have a certain affection, a certain connection, a certain friendship with Mary at this moment? After formatting my article. They didn't hear me say that.
I've always prayed the St. Michael prayer.
Yes.
And I always feel so comforted. I feel like there's an angel warrior that's fighting for me and for my soul. And I've always prayed that prayer. I learned it growing up. My family prayed it, and I've always prayed it, and I've always loved St. Michael, Archangel. But Father Ed wrote a blog article on St. Gabriel and his role in salvation, particularly. When he appeared to Zechariah first, and then he appeared to Mary. And what Father Ed did is, I've read that in Scripture many times, and that's when, because of Mary's yes, we are saved.
Mm-hmm.
We are saved through Christ, but because of Mary's yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's very important to me, but what Father Ed did is, he broke it down just in each part of it, and kind of, I felt like I was there with Gabriel, with Our Blessed Mother, with him talking to her, with him asking her that question, and I could almost see him waiting for her response. He paint a picture with words, Father, and it was a contemplation for me, and waiting for her words of yes, and you know, we hear that all heaven was waiting, you know, all heaven. Figuratively held its breath, but I could see Michael being right, Gabriel being right there. And then Mary's yes, and the explosion of joy he felt. And she said, how can this happen? And he explained how it could happen, and then her yes. And at that moment, Gabriel knew that by the overshadow of the Holy Spirit, Jesus became the God-man in the womb of Mary at that moment of her yes. And so all of this, it was so graphically described. I felt I was watching Gabriel and Mary, with them, hearing the conversation, waiting for that moment, and then realizing what just happened in that moment. And so that article is a real contemplation. And so now I fall in love with the Archangel Gabriel, because I always thought of Mary's role, and I never really gave Gabriel his role, and I do now, and I am so grateful. And then he's the bringer of good news, and also he's the patron of the media, you know, of communication. And what are we doing right now? Our church is closed. The doors are closed. It's empty. Right? But our church is not dead. Our church is very much alive through our live stream and through all the media that you're using, all the talks you're giving, Father, and be having outside masses, baptisms now, marriages. confirmations. Our church is very much alive, right? But that's, we need praying to Archangel Gabriel is what's going to help us in our endeavors.
Beautiful.
That was a lot, but it was really touching. You can tell it really touched me deeply.
Well, given I don't have the microphone, I'll into the... Annette, so Father Larry's talked a little bit about a couple of biblical passages relating to the guardian angels. I gave a story in which I really believe that I was saved by the intervention of the guardian angel. I think many people have not had accidents because of the presence of the angels. When we get to heaven, we're going to see that. And Mary has spoken now about the importance of Gabriel, which means strength or power of God, and he's a patron of modern communication that was given by Pope Paul VI. Father Larry and I were talking about the documents of Pope Paul VI at lunch. He was asking me, what you think was the most important? I said, I thought Humana Vitae. And he said, another very important document was Evangelii Nuntiandi, which was the document on evangelization. He said many popes have quoted that since. And I said another one I really loved of Paul VI was Marialis Cultus, where you see the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the church calendar. So we celebrated Pope Paul VI last week, and a great man of God. But going back to the angels and the guardian angels, and that I think you have a special devotion to the angels, don't you? Those three angels, your guardian angel, do they have a special place in your life?
Yes, Father. I've learned a lot about St. Raphael.
St. Raphael, yes. Huh?
And I love that story in the book of Tobit. And one of the things that he did was, actually his name means the...
God heals.
God heals.
Yes.
Because he actually Tobit, the father, was blinded by bird dropping the father's eyes.
You said that very well.
Yes. And I do have glaucoma, so I feel like I have a special devotion to him. And my mother, most of my family. So I pray to him regularly for just if it's God's will that, you know, he would watch our eyesight. And he's also the patron of happy meetings. And I know some of my directees have great difficulty. Like, they feel they have the vocation to the married life, but they're unable to find their spouse. Their spouse going to, you know, like, well, they think God is willing for them as far as the choice of a spouse. And in the book of Tobit, the Saint Raphael the Archangel, he guides Tobit Jr. to meet his future spouse. And so a lot of times I'll recommend prayer to him, to my directees, for a happy meeting in the future.
Building upon that, given the whole context of the story, is the younger Tobit has to go on an errand for his father because of getting some money that they owe him, and he doesn't know how to get there. So he's trying to find someone, and God sends the Archangel Raphael, who actually served as his guide. There were no electronic maps back then. I'm thankful for electronic maps because I get lost easily. When I make mistakes, the lady on the phone doesn't rebuke me sharply, but just redirects me kindly. But anyway... But they did not have an electronic map. They actually had to find out where they were going. And he appears on the scene and offers his service. But Sarah, his future wife, suffered a lot because she had six prospective husbands. In the marriage night, when the marriage would be consummated, before the man was able to touch Sarah, someone entered into the room. The name is Asmodeus, which should never be a confirmation name, Asmodeus, right, Mary?
Right.
Okay. Or Asmo. Okay. Asmodeus. Asmodeus was a devil, and he struck those six men dead. It's not said, but I believe that these men were pursuing this woman because of impure motives. Can I say it? Lustful motives. I would say that they saw her not as a future mother, sister in Christ, daughter of God, but saw her as an object to be utilized, an object to be used. And I think that God was manifesting his displeasure, and he actually struck these men dead. And I was thinking this morning when I was giving my talk, that is the spirit, the diabolical spirit of lust that has entered into so many homes. How many homes? Say, for example, you got a home with mom and dad and maybe two teenage boys and an older one that's in his maybe 20s. Could be that in three of those rooms, in that, of the five bedrooms, you have Asmodeus in that room. Asmodeus, the devil of lust, manifested through pornography. I think the American homes are filled with Asmodeuses today. So when he comes, there's two things he does. Well, Raphael goes, he tries to recover the money, and he leaves Toby Jr., Toby Jr. And when he arrives at Raguel, that's the name of Sarah's father, he wants to celebrate a big party, and he says, no, I take my wife, and what they do two things. They burn the gall of the fish. According to Relevant Radio, I listened this morning, that was an exorcism. That was an exorcism. So if the angel, you got the good angel, the bad angel, the good angel, Raphael, wants the gall burnt to exorcise the home of the bad spirit of lust. And the second thing that happens is that they pray. And this is probably the first reading I've heard most in weddings. Both of them, before they consummate, they kneel down and they pray together. They kneel down and they pray, and they say, we're not marrying because of lust or to follow our passions, but we're marrying so that we can raise a family. And they beg God's blessing, and then they consummate the marriage without the evil spirit Asmodeus coming and wreaking havoc and destroying Tobit. So it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful narration, and can be found in the book of Tobit. So, yes, those who are seeking direction, vocational direction in life, they can place themselves under the wings of Saint Raphael, and he can help them to discover their vocation, be it single, married, religious life, priesthood. But most specifically, it's probably more the marriage life, because he was the one that connected both Sarah and Toby Jr. so that they could form a happy marriage.
That's a wonderful talk about how the angels, first thing you think about it, but I know it says the purity of the angels in heaven, which does basically show the sexual activity in heaven, because the angels, you know, Lord mentions that, like the vow of chastity. That we take I was fascinated by Raphael fighting against the lust. It was, the devil was bringing into the house, and Raphael fought against it. Much to my surprise, I was thinking Pallavi would ask, which of the angels do you like the best, the three? And if you'd asked me this about 5 weeks ago, I would never say what I'm going to say now. The one I like best now is St. Michael the Archangel, without a question.
Why is that?
That's because we were in a war of good against evil right now. And as you know from being my brother, I had great devotion to Leo the 13th. He wrote to St. Michael Archangel fell on his knees. I had great devotion to him. I can never understand why he's never recognized the same.
Yeah.
But there's another reason I'm doing that that goes along with what Father Ray said. I'm reading the book of Joan of Arc. And Joan of Arc is just a very pure maiden in a farm town in France during the Hundred Years' War. And she's somewhat devout, and she becomes pensive as a teenager. So one of her friends follows her secretly into the forest. And she's there praying, and all of a sudden this brilliant white light comes down. It's a fiction story, a fiction that really struck me. And the white light has wings on it. The white light comes to her to talk with her. The white light is like Michael the Archangel. And he tells her that she has to go and pre-friend for the angels. And he will lead her and teach her how to fight. I'm thinking to myself, the Michael the Archangel could teach us how to fight against the evil in the world today. It's a very beautiful passage. This white light, lady, wonderful white light, wings on and comes down and talks to say, Joan of Arc. It's written in fiction, but I believe it could be true. So what happens, she becomes, she follows the instruction that the angel gives her, and she becomes head of the armies of France. What's the first thing that she does? She tells the first French commander to her, stop cursing. And then you go to mass every day. She says, I'm not going to go to mass every day. She says, that's great. You're going to go to two every day.
Wow.
And she says, all the bad women are going to leave. They're not allowed to be among the troops. She sent away all the bad women from among the troops, and she made all the men practice purity before they were going to battle. So this is the idea how she, like the Archangel, led her to fight against the evil that was in the world at that time. So I had that devotion to Michael the Archangel completely, that we have to fight against evil in a situation where there is good and evil in the world. John Paul II mentions this in Memory and Identity. Big prize always against good and evil. We have to pray for the kingship of Christ.
It's true, because if you go to the first reading in the Mass today, we have two options, and it's taken from the book of Revelation. You see that there was a battle in heaven. The battle was between the good angels and the rebellious angels. Rebellious angel would be Satan or Lucifer, who said, I will not serve. And the word Michael, his name actually means, from Hebrew, who is like unto God. So there was a battle in heaven. And Michael, the archangel, and the good angels, they overcame the evil spirits. So the result of that was that God created hell, and he cast into hell Lucifer, Satan, and all the evil spirits. But it was through the instrumentality of Saint Michael the Archangel that this battle was waged and it was won. To the very day, there is a battle. It's called the Two Standards. The Two Standards is present today, and it's between the good angel and the bad angel. I even feel that Sarah, there was like a two standards there, because Sarah, after she lost all of these prospect husbands, she was tempted to give into despair. And Toba says that she had this thought that she would go up to the upper room, she would get a rope and she was going to hang herself, committing suicide, ending her life, taking her life. So that was what she was planning to do. So then she had another thought. Well, if I do this, this will be a huge disgrace upon my parents. They will suffer this irreparable loss by losing their daughter by a disgraceful way. So she had these two thoughts. One thought came from the bad spirit. Another one came from the good spirit. And thanks be to God, because of the presence of St. Raphael, she followed the voice of the good spirit, would eventually find her true spouse, marry and have a happy marriage. So you see in Sarah, you see in the book of Tobit, you got the two standards there. The two standards that are working very powerfully in Sarah. And what tipped the scale was the presence of God through the Archangel Raphael. Mary, what do you have to say on this?
The two standards is our life. And we have to choose, whose side we're on, God or Satan. And every day we make that choice. And the choices we make every day, we're choosing one or the other. And the exercises help us become conscious of what my choices are. Which voice is speaking to me, and then whose side am I going to be on, God's side or Satan's? So the two standards for those of us who do the exercises has become very real and very much our daily life. I'm very conscious of that through my day. Okay, who's speaking to me right now, and which voice am I going to follow? But the other part of that is that we are in a battle in the world. And it's never been worse than it is today. Because modern media, Théodore de Chardin wasn't always orthodox, but he got one thing right. He said that the world would never be the same because communication was spreading all around the world and everything done in the world was known by everyone. And he said that will change the world, and it has. And so we have to understand it's a battle, and we know where the battle lines are. We have to choose our sides on a global manner too. And right now, the issue in our next election is abortion. And I had a family member I was talking to, and they said there's so many issues besides just abortion. And I said yes there are, but the point is that. A child is dying. You're letting a child die, right? It's not like, are you going to have more economic security one way or the other, or other issues like that? It's a child's life. You know, it's a child's life, and so knowing that, that's had two standards, and then life is worth more than any economic system or any of the other issues, you know, that people might be concerned about. But so then I have three things that I really have gravitated to that I'll just mention in terms of spiritual warfare or warfare in the world today. And it is spiritual warfare. It's always spiritual warfare. It's always been since Adam and Eve. It's always been spiritual warfare, but it manifests itself physically too. Is one of my earliest ones was Blessed Miguel Pro. I really fell in love with Blessed Miguel Pro and his heroic efforts in Mexico to serve those people, even until the cost of his death. And then Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio, you know, that child, that young boy that wouldn't say the words, Malde Cristo Rey,
Maldice
Cristo Rey. He would not say it. All I had to do was say those words. He would not say it. And the tortures he went through. And then the third one is Oscar Romero. blessing us, Romero. I just recently watched his life again, and he was a philosopher and a thinker. He wasn't a practical, you know, politician in the world, you know, even as a prelate, you know, practical matters. He was more a philosopher and thinker. But when he was, it was Chile, right?
No, it was Salvador.
Salvador, okay. When he was in Salvador, he saw firsthand what was happening to the people and the suffering of the people. And then what brought him into very practical responses that he made was to save those people, the suffering of his people, of God's people. And then everything became real for him, the books he put aside. Everything became right there. What he fought for was the dignity and the lives of those people and the right to practice our faith. So those are three heroes that I have. But with St. Michael, for the modern warfare that we have.
Just to finish up on that, then we'll let Annette offer her contribution. Yeah, years ago I did see the movie Romero, and probably the most touching scene in Romero, it's at the very beginning, is that you've got the guerrillas, the warfare, that are basically going after him, as well as they're against the poor. And they've taken possession of one of the churches. So he goes in his car, goes up to the church, and is surrounded by soldiers, and inside there are soldiers. So you see, one of the toughest guy takes his machine gun, and he's shooting inside the church, damaging statues, the stained glass windows. And then you see one of the bullets, there's a spree of bullets that actually rivet into the tabernacle and rip the tabernacle door off. And then he shoots at the ciborium, and then the hosts are scattered on the ground. He goes in against the will of these soldiers, and the big guy kicks him down, forces him out. Then he goes back a second time, and they thought that they're probably going to kill him. Kicks him down again, and he starts to pick up the hosts. And then he comes in the third time, and that almost diabolic soldier backs off, and all the people come into the church walking in after him, and he picks up the hosts, puts them in the ciborium, and he leaves with the hosts in the ciborium. It's a beautiful scene, because you see that the real courage of this man, who eventually you'll notice in the movie that he's celebrating the Mass in the convent of nuns, and a thug gets into the church and shoots him when he's celebrating Mass. He's lifting up the host, and he's actually shot and killed. Well, that demanded a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. He was actually canonized with Pope Paul VI. Mm-hmm. This is about 2 years ago. They lived at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now more than ever, we have to have courage. So I would agree with Father Larry that I would say the three angels are great. They all have a different mission. Gabriel is the patron of modern communication. Raphael is the patron of many things, but of vocations, especially vocation to the religious life and the marriage life. But Michael, I think Michael is teaching us that today as Catholics, we have to be strong. We have to be courageous. We have to live out our confirmation. Once we're confirmed, we're actually called to be soldiers of Christ. When I was confirmed, today the kids, it doesn't happen. When I was confirmed, the bishop would actually, he would tap you on the cheek. And maybe you remember that, but I was confirmed when I was 10, 1966, by a cardinal in New York. But that's the thing that I remember most. I thought he was going to really hit me hard. And I think maybe I can duck, and he'd hit another kid that was on my left, no? But it wasn't so much a real smack, but it was a tap on the cheek. But you know what it meant? It meant is we should be willing to suffer and die as martyrs if God calls us to that very noble, sublime mission. So Raphael, Gabriel, Michael, our guardian angel. Annette, do you have anything more to contribute to this lively conversation?
Definitely the two stanzas are happening. every day and getting more intense in the world today. Definitely St. Michael the Archangel is very, very important. I feel that, I know we pray the prayer after the Mass sometimes, and I think that's a great reminder to always keep them at the forefront of our battle. I know you were mentioning, Mary, about some saints. I also think about Saint Joseph, who is protector of the church. I often pray to him to protect our church, our priests, our pope, all our religious. You know, all the attacks on the symbols of our faith.
It's interesting you say that, because we're talking about angels today, and you brought in Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph in the Bible, we don't have any words of Saint Joseph in the Bible, but more than once Saint Joseph is present with the meeting of an angel. He did not know the means by which Mary had conceived Christ. And the angel appears and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your spouse, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And then when King Herod wants to destroy the Christ child, once again you see an angel. And even in the church, the new church, this is a painting that you wanted in the church. And looking out from the altar, it's on the left side on the wall, almost close to the back of the church, there is a painting in which you see Saint Joseph. He's heading toward Egypt, and Mary's on the donkey. But above that, I don't know if you ever noticed, above them you can actually see there's an angel. It's almost as if the angel not only has told Saint Joseph to get up, but almost as if the angel is accompanying them from Nazareth all the way to Egypt. That's a wonderful painting, and you really wanted to make sure you had that, because you really wanted to make sure that our church is open to the immigrants. But there, you have the presence of the angels, even the life of Saint Joseph.
Question is, such as it's so deep, there's so much to be said, it's so beautiful. There's one question I'd like to ask, a question on what Mary said. What you said was very beautiful, Mary. Number one issue is abortion. Then you mentioned Arturo Romano. The problem with people is that some of them say abortion, only abortion, nothing else but abortion. You have to be concerned about the other things. Arturo Romano was not only really concerned about abortion.
The poor.
He's concerned about the poor. Now, Mary, you be kind enough. Father God, I just wrote a wonderful book. This is just a quote he has in the book. I'd like you to read that quote, because it reads so well.
The chapter's titled, Before the Throne of God. It was revealed to Abba Anthony in his desert that there was one who was his equal in the city. He was a doctor by profession, and whatever he had beyond his needs, he gave to the poor. And every day he sang the Sanctus with the angels.
Wow. Think about that beautiful statement. That chapter by chapter, Timmy Gallagher is writing his new book about saying the holy, holy, holy during the Mass, to sing with the angels. But put that aside for things and go to another part. passage in the Acts of the Apostles, which is one of Ed's favorite books. There's a story in the Acts of the Apostles about a man called Cornelius. We often mention that in our midday prayer, how what happens, Cornelius was a very good centurion, and he was what we would call a pagan, not a pagan as we know him today, but a man who did not know about Christ. And he was praying one day, close to 3 o'clock in his house, and an angel appeared to him. The angel appeared to him and sent him to Peter. Why did the angel send him to Peter? And he sent a messenger to Peter, that Peter was the Pope of the Church. Mm. When Peter came to Cornelius' house, Peter said, what happened? Cornelius said, this man, which was the holy angel, was before me, dressed in a bright robe. And he said these words, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. And seeing the alms you have given to the poor, and therefore sent me to you. So it's very beautiful if we say our prayers and pray to God sincerely from the bottom of our heart, we help the poor. God will send angels to help us. Mm-hmm. You might read that one more time.
Right? Yes, I'd be happy to. It was revealed to Abba Anthony in his desert that there was one who was his equal in the city. He was a doctor by profession, and whatever he had beyond his needs, he gave to the poor. And every day he sang the Sanctus with the angels. Whatever he had beyond his needs.
What would your interpretation of that be?
A lot of people out there that are living very good lives that don't know Christ. Living very good lives. They're praying to God as they see Him. They're helping the poor. They need someone to come and to announce Christ to them. For the way they live, what they say. And that's what I would interpret it. He said, God wants to help them get to know Christ better. That's why the announcement of the gospel is so important. Everybody is willing to talk about Christ. If you see someone, especially a very good person, that's not what you call a bona fide Catholic or Christian, you might mention about Christ to him. I think they'd be open to it. And the key thing there is, has heard your prayer and also has seeing how much you help the poor. That's the power of prayer and the power of helping the poor. That's what God wants us to do. Mm. In Timmy Gallagher's book, if you go to chapter, I think it's chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, Timmy Gallagher develops that theme of singing with the angels. And you have we have a quote from Revelation 8, the angels are surrounding the throne of God. Surrounding the throne of God with the four elders. They bow down and adore God. And they adore God with seven words. Blessing, glory, wisdom, honor, power, I forgot what I mean, power and might. This is how we should, he asks you to ask, what does it mean by blessing? What does it mean by glory? What does it mean by wisdom? What does it mean by thanksgiving? That's what I forgot. We have, what does it mean by honor? Giving? All of these must be given to God, not to ourselves. If you take each word, Joe was doing this morning, and you just meditate on that word, wow. I meditate on blessing. I bless God for what God has done for me at Thanksgiving. When I bless God for what He's done for me, God blesses me. Mm-hmm. And God never be done outdone in generosity. Mm-hmm. You can take each one and sacrifice to yourself. But I, but that I did, when they will be joining the angels in heaven. And also I like this, I love the idea of courage that they brought up. They're praising Michael the Archangel for courage. We all need that. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thought. One last comment. Why don't we do this? You mentioned that picture of the guardian angel that you like so much. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can find a copy of that. Tim Gallagher mentions a picture by Fry Angelico. The angels around the throne of God. Why don't we can find a picture of that? And we can show that to people the next sometime in the future when we meet.
Good.
Which of those words that you mentioned, you meditate upon two or three of them? You said power, thanksgiving, blessing. Could you comment just briefly on those words, thanksgiving and blessing? Maybe start by talking about thanksgiving, because I think that's a key word. Because at the end, when Raphael is about to go to heaven, he says, "Don't praise me, but thank God." That's what he says. He says, thank God, because they're about to praise Raphael, and he says, "Look, I'm not God. I'm an angel sent for praise and thank God." And that's how it ends. Yeah.
Another word in there is honor. Don't give the honor to me. Mm-hmm. Another word in there is glory. Mm-hmm. Glory is not mine. Mm-hmm. Glory is that God did it. Mm-hmm. God is the one that deserves all the praise. In the great novena of the surrenders of Jesus, Jesus says, no man does a miracle, only God. If you pray for a miracle, but you do not do the miracle, God does the miracle. Give the glory and honor to God. So that's the idea of the glory and the honor, thanksgiving. What was the other, the blessing?
Yeah, as you said, you mentioned power, right?
I love the word of wisdom. What about wisdom?
Talk about that wisdom.
Okay. Once I thought I was pretty smart. I'm not that smart. You know? Wisdom. You think of wisdom. Wisdom of God. They quoted the other day, I think it was Father Day. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as heaven's above the earth, as my thoughts above your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's it. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, I think, is expressed by Sister Faustina. She says, prudence is discretion, rational reflection, courageous resolution, and you must seek advice. From someone who had visions of God, had visions of the Trinity, had visions of Jesus. So I like to go back to what Annette said about the two standards. Okay, we all have dreams. Do we have dreams? Mm-hmm. We all have dreams. Right. Where do they come from? Dreams come from one or three places. They come from a good spirit, or a bad spirit, or from my own psyche. Probably 99% comes from my own psyche.
Human spirit, yeah.
But you have to do that when you, as Ed talks about the two standards. You have to be very careful with dreams. So what you need to do is not jump up and say, well, this is what I have to do. No, you have to say, I have to look advice on and go see a first structure of proofs. See what happens.
That's good advice.
Very good advice.
Very good advice.
Ed was talking about when he was a kid, Bishop would tap you on the shoulder of faith. We used to kid when we were receiving communion, Bishop would come up to the boys, wham, to the girls. Those words are very good. What do you think of blessing, man? Which way would you take of the ones that I mentioned? Which would strike you? Or which would strike Annette or Anna? Me and Mary?
Well, I would say, I just love the word Thanksgiving. I just feel, of all those words, I love them all. And I think maybe it depends upon the day. Probably right now, I'm experiencing consolation being with all of you and with our live stream family. I love the word Thanksgiving because the Eucharist means Thanksgiving. And constantly we're praying the Psalms in the morning. We're always rendering thanks to God. And even St. Ignatius goes on to say that the essence of sin is ingratitude. The essence of sin is not expressing gratitude to God. So I really like the idea of Thanksgiving. Mary, what about you?
Favorite word right now is my name is Mary Teresa, so I'm named after Therese. Since I was a child, I've read the life of Therese, and she's been a friend of mine. So she says, she would say, "I am nothing. I can do nothing. All is God's grace, and all is God's work." And so as I've gotten older and looking back at my life and looking back where I am now, the one word that I find myself saying all the time is gratitude. It's grateful. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so grateful.
What about you, Annette? Do you have a special word that seems to inspire you lately?
My favorite psalm is, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103, and it begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name."
Well, Larry, we only have about 90 seconds to go. Could you maybe conclude talking about the relationship between Mary and the angels?
Yes. A beautiful example of the relationship between Mary and the angels is the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. He realized that her purity was greater than his, but that she was greater than him. He was not jealous. He was willing to be her servant. And then also, he saw in her something that he would always imitate for the rest of his life as an angel, a gift of thanksgiving. As I said, you love the word thanksgiving. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, and I see it favor. Thanking God for it. Mary thanks God, the gift of thanksgiving, not for only what God is doing for her, but for all of mankind. And also, Ed said it's very beautiful about that. Think about the angels. The angels are in heaven praising God that they are angels. Could we be one time with the angels and praising God that we're a human being redeemed by Jesus Christ?
Beautiful. So we've had a wonderful conversation today on St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, as well as our guardian angels. We pray that all of you will have a great, great peace and joy. Recognize you're never alone because you're surrounded by these beautiful angels who are your friends, your companions, and they will help you one day to get to heaven to praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary and all God's angels and saints, may God bless you in a very special way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.